Chapter 5. After her walk with Romeo, Nia started thinking about the evening ahead. She'd imagined a largely solitary visit here, although of course she planned to have a few chats with Ruby and pass on impressions of the close to Gwen. However, despite it only being her second day on the island, she felt herself drawn to the people here and intrigued by their lives. In a way, it was refreshing to have a distraction from her own problems and to be among people who knew nothing about her. Nia remembered Jade's comments about Gwen's baking and wondered about taking cake that evening. However, although it had been acceptable for Gwen to take food into White's, she wasn't sure if the owners would mind her doing the same. She decided to take some in her bag and see how it went. As anticipated, the kitchen cupboards were well stocked, and she found the heavy iron griddle on which Gwen had taught her to bake Welsh cakes and crempog. She decided to make the crempog. Small, Welsh thick pancakes for that evening. There was something comforting about standing in the kitchen, mixing up the batter, with Romeo now curled up on a blanket on the floor. After leaving it to rest, she dropped the batter, a tablespoon at a time, onto the heated griddle, turning each over as it turned golden brown. As a reward for her labours, she made herself a cup of tea and allowed herself one of the warm pancakes, thickly spread with butter. After this, she had the courage to find her phone and turn it back on. There were more messages from Chris, which she replied to, as she had before, that she needed time to think, and that she would talk to him soon. Safi had also messaged, but seemed to accept at face value her mother's need for a break. Later, with the pancakes neatly packed in a tin, Nia left the house to walk up the road to White's that evening. It was still light, a dry, chilly spring evening. She changed into jeans but kept her heels. White's was in the left-hand corner of the close and stood at right angles to the veterinary practice. The front of the brasserie featured enormous windows, the wooden frames painted a stylish grey. Nia hesitated at the door. Usually Chris would walk in front, make the entrance. Taking a deep breath, she pushed open the door and went in. The room was tastefully decorated, with sofas as well as dining chairs and tables with chic green star-shaped candles. Nia could imagine them serving good coffee and wraps in the daytime, and then tapas and light plates of food with a glass of wine in the evening. Nia spotted Lucy and Ian sitting with others at a large, low table covered in small bowls of nibbles. Ian waved her in enthusiastically. There was no turning back. She approached the bar, situated at the far end of the room, and found the young man she'd seen at the harbour. He gave Nia a wide, confident smile.
"You must be Nia. I'm Joe."
"Oh, you've heard about me."
"We're very close here. Look after each other. I promised Gwen I'd keep an eye on you."
Nia laughed. She said the same to Jade.
"Good. Right, now, what can I get you?"
Nia gave a slight cough. "I'll have a glass of red. A Merlot?" Joe poured her a glass and handed it to her.
"It's good to have you here, Nia."
To Nia, he had the air of a younger person acting the part of a host. However, Nia realised that even at the age of 40, she was starting to find people looked young for their position, be it a doctor, dentist, or teacher. "Thank you very much, Joe. I saw you coming off a yacht this morning. Is it yours?"
"I wish. No, it's owned by a friend of mine. I'm not in that league."
"This place is great."
"Thanks, yes. It's starting to take off now. It takes a year or two to start bringing in the returns. Is it Cardiff you're from?"
Again, Nia felt everyone here knew a lot more about her than she did about them. "That's right. There are certainly a lot of places to eat and drink down there now. The student population is huge. It's changed a lot." She could see someone waiting to be served. Joe tactfully said,
"I see Ian's been holding a seat for you. I'll come and join you all in a minute."
Nervously, Nia leant forward. "I heard Gwen used to bring cakes on a Sunday evening. I brought some, but of course if you'd rather I didn't..." Joe laughed.
"Of course I don't mind. We don't serve food on a Sunday evening, and it cheers us all up. I shall look forward to them."
Nia went and took her seat between Ian and Ethan, but as she did, the others stopped talking, which was rather disconcerting. She was suddenly aware of feeling too formally dressed. Opposite her sat Jade in her casual clothes, and Ruby wearing the same skirt as the day before, with a chunky knit cardigan with wooden buttons slung on the chair behind her. A hemp shopping bag hung over the arm of the chair. She sat with her legs crossed, her body turned slightly towards the young man she sat next to. Although she had a fixed smile on her face, Nia noticed her hands were tightly clasped, one hand squeezing the fingers of the other. The knuckles on her hands, white. The young man who Nia assumed was Ruby's husband, Richie, looked of similar age but was far more fashionable, with thick framed black glasses, carefully trimmed stubble, his head shaved at the side with a thick wedge of black hair lying flat on the top of his head. He sat with his legs pushed together, arms tightly crossed, and he stared down at his knees. Joe came over to join them. He leant over Jade, kissed her on the cheek, then jumped over the back of the seat to sit between her and Ruby.
"Everyone, this is Nia, Gwen's niece," said Ian.
He was back to his normal, charming persona.
"I think most of us in the close have had a chance to say hello by now. There are, of course, Lucy and me, your neighbours."
He waved his hand at Lucy, who was sitting the other side of him. Nia leant forward to send her a smile. Lucy was wearing the same white jeans and high heels as before, but had added a blue cashmere jumper and large sunglasses.
"Now," continued Ian, "this is the proprietor of this wonderful establishment, Joe. Then Ethan and Elvira. Of course you met Ethan at lunch, and now you have the opportunity to meet his fiancée and fellow vet, Elvira."
Nia took the tin out of her bag. "I thought I'd carry on Gwen's tradition." She removed the lid and put the box on the low table in front of them.
"They look fantastic," said Joe, diving in. "Gwen makes these, doesn't she?"
"She does. In fact, she taught me how to make them," said Nia, smiling.
"Brilliant," said Joe, laughing. "You really are ever so like her."
"That's what I said," interrupted Jade. "We all have a new shoulder to cry on," she added, laughing.
"And now, Elvira," said Ian, "maybe you would like to introduce yourself."
Elvira was sitting back, twisting a strand of long, rich chestnut-brown hair around her fingers. She was clearly quite a bit younger than Ethan, maybe early 30s, her eyes a sparkling blue. She had a kind of Kate Middleton look, classy jeans, white shirt and Converse trainers. "Hi, Nia. It's brilliant to meet you." The inflection of her voice rose at the end of the statement. "I'm Elvira. I know you had lunch with Ethan today, and so you'll know something about me, I'm sure. The exciting thing I have to show this evening to everyone is this." Elvira held out her left arm, dangled her hand in front of them all with a flourish. "I finally have the ring." She thrust her hand out. The enormous sapphire and diamond ring was the kind of thing that would look tacky if the cut and shine had not spoken of it being the real thing. "Good God, Elvira, it's huge," said Jade. "I'm impressed, Ethan." He shrugged, blushing. "I designed it. It's unique," said Elvira. She gazed lovingly at the ring. Ruby's attention, though, seemed to be drawn to the black macrame bracelet with a charm of a blue glass eye, and her face crumpled in concern as she said, "You know, you shouldn't wear that bracelet, Elvira. You shouldn't be messing about with things like that." Elvira tutted. "Rubbish! All the celebrities are wearing them now." "They're not a joke, you know," said Ruby quietly. Elvira shot her a short, fierce glare, so quick that Nia guessed most people missed it, but it was laser-like in its directness and ferocity. However, she quickly softened her expression. "Don't take any notice, Nia. I've known Ruby for years. She came over to sixth form on the mainland and we met there. She started putting me right then and hasn't stopped since." Her face grew sterner, no edge of humour now. "By the way, I understand you went to visit my mum last week. I wish you'd asked me first. You know how she is."
"I hadn't seen her for months. I wanted to chat to her," said Ruby.
"You know I didn't want you to go. Ethan is very good, respects my decision to keep meetings with people other than myself to a minimum." I thought she'd enjoy talking to someone else about the wedding. How are the dress fittings going?
Very well, thank you, said Elvira stiffly.
Listening to the conversation, Nia was very aware there was some kind of underlying tension, but she wasn't sure what was causing it.
Ethan spoke, his tone bright.
The big day is only 8 weeks away, and now Elvira has the ring, we would both like you to come here next Sunday to finally celebrate our engagement. There will be champagne, and of course, there will be nibbles and a buffet, that kind of thing.
He looked at Elvira for confirmation.
Of course, it's going to be a very intimate party, but a real celebration, said Elvira enthusiastically. Make sure you come, Nia. You are part of the close now, and we want everyone there.
We'll all be here for our free champagne, said Jade. Nia looked over at her. Her voice was flat, her face pale. She looked very different from the woman who had bounced into her house the day before. Nia wondered what had happened.
That's great, said Ian, and he looked around the table. Now, Ruby, maybe you and Richie could tell Nia about yourselves.
Ruby spoke quietly but firmly. I'm a hairdresser with my sister Jade, as you know. I've been married to Richie for 6 years now. We live over the art gallery. You must come and see Richie's paintings soon. They're beautiful seascapes. The kind of thing you don't mind hanging on your wall, if you know what I mean.
Nia saw Richie cringe at the description of his work, which she understood. It wasn't exactly how an ambitious young painter would want his work described.
Joe interrupted.
You were meant to talk about yourself, Ruby. He turned to Nia. Ruby also does lots of work for charity, working on Saturday and Sunday nights.
The warmth of Joe's obvious affection for Ruby surprised Nia. They seemed so different. Ruby blushed slightly, her eyes fixed in her lap.
That sounds exhausting. What exactly do you do all night? Nia asked.
Ruby looked up. The fixed smile dropped, and it was as if she had closed the shutters.
I'm afraid it's not something I can talk about, replied Ruby, her voice tighter now. But Jade and I close the salon on Mondays. Richie also tends to shut the gallery and go off painting. It's nice and quiet, and I catch up then.
She turned to Richie, the fixed smile returned. Now you should tell Nia properly what you do.
Richie sat back, his feet resting on the low coffee table in front of him. I paint, I sell my paintings. That's it, really. And we have our swimming, said Ian.
So, are you going to tell everyone a bit about yourself?
Ian asked Nia.
We know you used to be a hairdresser, and now you do proofreading, is that right? What will you be doing with your time over here?
I'm not too sure. I've come for a break, really. Ian leant forward.
Well, on behalf of everyone, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to the close. We shall look forward to many more cakes.
He looked at his watch, more of a gesture than to check the time.
We tend to keep our get-together quite short, as most of us go on to various Sunday activities. Elvira pops to see her mum, Ethan and Jade go to help at a local animal rescue, Richie and I have a swim, and of course, Ruby is off to her charity. Lucy and I will do our meditation together before I go swimming, and then I leave her to watch TV. And don't forget, some of us are still working, said Joe. You won't be staying open much longer, will you?
Said Ian, glancing around at the empty room.
No, 9 is late enough round here on a Sunday. I'll be off fishing later.
Nia expected everyone to leave, but actually, nobody moved. Elvira surprised her by asking her if she was interested in walking. I enjoy walking in woods and downland, replied Nia. I was reading you have red squirrels over here. That must be exciting. Elvira grinned. It is for some. She shot a glance at Ethan. I'm afraid I'm not that grabbed by it all. I prefer to ride when I'm out and about. Ethan, though, is a proper nature addict. You'll have to get him to take you for a walk. He knows where to see them.
Ethan gave her a half smile.
Of course I'd be glad of the company. I tend to go very early, though.
I wouldn't mind that, said Nia.
If you're serious, I'm going this Tuesday.
He turned to Elvira.
You could come as well, of course.
No way. It's too early for me. You take Nia.
I go about 5:30, Ethan said to Nia.
Gosh, that is early, but still, yes, I'd love to come. Can I bring Romeo?
Of course.
Oh, no, I don't have a car at the moment. Mine's in a garage over in Southampton.
Don't worry, I'll give you a lift. It's greener anyway if we travel together.
They were still working out the logistics of meeting up when Elvira broke off her conversation with Jade. Jade stood up suddenly and pushed past them all, running to the back of the brasserie. Everyone stopped talking. Ruby glanced at Richie and rushed after Jade.
Still hung over from last night, joked Joe. We had too many shots, I think.
Everyone gave knowing smiles and went back to chatting. Nia remembered seeing a back door leading to the garden, and she suddenly felt desperate for some fresh air. It was darker outside now, although there was subtle lighting around the long garden, most of which was paved over with hedges and borders at the side. She discovered a rather abandoned patch of grass and a tall wooden gate leading, she guessed, into the vet's garden next door. As she was starting to feel chilly, Nia headed back inside to the ladies, but as she was opening the door, she paused, realizing she had caught Ruby and Jade in the middle of some kind of crisis.